the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza Hillman. Sid is the author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, a certified nutritionist, health coach, and programs director at the Stanford Inns Wellness Center on the Mendocino coast of California.
Hello, small steppers. Sid Garza Hillman here. You are listening to my podcast right now. That's what's happening right now. In case you don't know, you are listening to my podcast, my weekly show where I discuss all things related to health and happiness, how to eke out a happier, healthier life, something I think we all want. And I have a system that I think works freaking great. The best? Yeah, I do. That's just me. You could disagree, but I'm just going to put that out there. Okay, I think it's the best way to do it. But I have a research showing that it doesn't. You know what? Your research is funded by the quick fix panel of people. Okay? All right. Won that argument and launched a really bad show opening at the same time. Okay, I'm multitasking. Anyway, I'm glad you guys are here. If you've been with me before, this is the least surprising opening you've ever heard. And if you're just joining me, congratulations, you have essentially completed the ultra marathon of getting through a bad show opening, and you stuck through it. You got through it, you fueled yourself well, and you have survived, and you're a stronger person for it. This episode and all podcasts that I've done are brought to you by you guys, and I mean that for real. The support that I get is what keeps me going, and that support comes from a bunch of different ways. One can be an iTunes review or just a rating, just like pushing a button. That's it. But you can write something too. And also the donations that I get from you guys, which are fantastic and just, I can't tell you how helpful. Okay. And they can literally be $2 a month, and I have it set up that way through my website, but also buying some of the Approaching the Natural merchandise. More on that in a minute, because I'm very, very excited. If you guys are just joining me for the first time, which you may, because you may have just heard me talk yesterday and maybe want to tune in and see what's the what about this. I am essentially a small steps coach. That's what I do. I'm a small steps coach. Okay. Yes, I'm a certified nutritionist, and that comes in handy because in my training when I train people, my small steps approach and system, that obviously delves into the food realm, how they're eating, how they want to make changes in that. And so the nutrition part comes into play big time. Okay. Done a lot of research on fitness and running and exercise and all that kind of stuff that all plays into that same picture. But really, I'm a small steps coach. Really, I'm teaching you my system of how to create change over time. Now, I do that on a private basis, sure, SidGarzaHillman.com, but I also come here every week on this podcast and my YouTube channel, which I post 2 videos a week, sometimes more if I happen to be in Scotland. Okay, that's the only time I ever did more than 2. That's why I mentioned that. Got it? Okay. My also job, by the way, espresso, by the way. Long day, real quick, long day yesterday. Okay, I went to San Francisco, more on that in a minute, but I spoke at the Veg Fest down there. And if you don't know this about me, I live in a small town in Northern California, and I mean Northern. So here's what, it takes me 3.5 to 4 hours to get to San Francisco. So I got up yesterday morning super early, got in the car, drove to San Francisco, drove right to the thing, unloaded. Spent the day there because I was sitting at the Stanford Inn table, and then I did my talk, then went back to the Stanford Inn table, hung out with my friend Rebecca Gilbert, who is the Yummy Plants person who makes those cool V t-shirts, which are awesome. But they put us next to each other just fully coincidentally, so that was awesome. And then got back in the car at about 4 p.m. and drove another 4 hours home. Long day. Yes, it was. Then I edited a video when I got home. So it was about a 16-17 hour day of just either driving or working. Okay, long day. So I got up this morning and I texted Jeff and I said, I'd really like to not come in like soon, right now. And he goes, good. I'll be less distracted if you don't come in. So it was a win-win. So I'm at home. So I thought, well, I'll do the podcast this morning and I'm fresh. I just did a little Wim Hof training this morning, got up and did the breathing and did the yoga, took a nice long cold shower, and now I'm just juiced without even drinking juice. I'm juiced without juicing. And that's kind of nice because I don't have to clean up the damn juicer, which has a bunch of just crap everywhere, right? And so I am doing a dial back day today, which is no food, just water and an espresso, apparently, because that's what's happening right now. Okay, good. But so back to the whole thing. I do work at the Stanford and I run the wellness center there. And the nutritionists there teach classes and all sorts of good stuff. There's yoga and nutrition and cooking and gardening and imagination play shops with doing creativity with Joan Stanford. She just put a book out called Art of Play. If you watch my YouTube channel, I showed you guys that book when I was talking about children because she's a big, like, she's just kind of her thing is to recapture that childlike creativity via diving into art. It's super fun what she does. And so anyway, that's what I do there. Okay, big announcement. Here's the announcement. If you guys watch my YouTube channel, this will be no surprise to you. But the t-shirts are freaking in, and they are Nutty Nut Nut shirts. Now, a lot of people were like, I was betting that it was Small Steppers. I was betting, but a lot of people were like, yeah, we freaking knew it was Nutty Nut Nut. Big effing surprise. Even the shirt printers, my buddies over at EASW.com, Embroidery and Screenworks, .com, who've become friends. I've never met them, but they're the best, just awesome. And my buddy Andy over there owns it, and he takes care of me over there. Okay, but they do quality work. So if you ever need anything, they're not sponsoring this, by the way. I'm not connected to them financially. They just give me good prices, and they're just awesome and professional and great, and the quality is awesome. They print anything, like coffee cups and freaking whatever. I just happen to get the shirts, and I did the my Mendocino Coast 50K hats with them last year and bags. So they're awesome. Anyway, Nutty Nut Nut shirts are in organic cotton and recycled polyester blend. They're on my website, SidGarzaHillman.com. In the first day, I sold more than I sold of the Approaching the Natural shirts in the first 3 months. So in the first day. So for those of you who've ordered, they will come. Hey, this is the truth. I didn't expect that many orders to come in. And so what I did, I have ordered the envelopes that haven't come in yet. So I'm literally waiting, which should be a matter of days, for the actual padded recycled envelopes that I use. Then I will send them out. So it's a matter of days. I've got them. And thank you so much for ordering. And it's awesome. And they're fun. And I love them. And I just, it's like, I should have done those first, but I didn't have the idea. But anyway, what I was going to say is Andy over at EASW, he was like, when I put the order in, he's like, I swear to you, my wife and I were going to print 2 Nutty Nut Nut shirts like a year ago because they had that same idea because they listened to the podcast. That's how I met him. And he was like, it would be great if we did a Nutty Nut Nut shirt. So he actually had thought about it already. So it's very cool. So I'm very excited. And they're going out. Got it? Done. Okay. But you can also go to my website, my newly redesigned website, by the way, and put a free get a free chapter of my book by putting your email address in my book, Approaching the Natural, A Health Manifesto. And there you can donate and buy other stuff too. Good? Okay. Quick few announcements of my sightings. Okay? Yesterday was in San Francisco, so I can take that one right off the list. Mendocino Healthy Running Retreat, October 21st to the 24th. I think there are some spots open. If you're in the Bay Area and you want to jump up for a freaking affordable weekend. I don't know how he's pricing it the way that he priced it. I don't know. I'm not involved on that end of things, but it's going to be fun. And great food. There's a buddy of mine, Kyle Evans, who used to be the head chef at the Ravens restaurant at the Stanford and who now runs the culinary program for some hospitals up in Mendocino. He's doing the food, and which is cool. And he's a great runner, too. He actually ran my 50K, the one I race-directed last year, Mendocino Coast 50K. And so he's going to be doing the cooking. It's October 21st through the 24th. I will be teaching a couple classes and going on some runs with you guys, okay? Okay. The next thing after that is the Atlanta Veg Fest in November 12th. Flying out the 11th and then flying back the 13th. Like, it's a quick turnaround. Apparently I'm on the airplane with a guy named David Carter, who's a pro NFL player, who's also plant-based, and he's doing a speaking thing at the same event that I am, so we're going to be on the airplane together. I'm going to see if he'll arm wrestle me. I have high hopes, given that I've been doing all this breathing and cold therapy. I believe that I can probably beat an NFL player at an arm wrestle. That's just, it's researched. Okay, I've got studies to show that that's a possibility. Then I'm going to be running on December 3rd, the North Face 50K on December 3rd. More on that in a minute, because training is going well for that. And then I found out that I'm going to be at the Marshall, Texas Health Fest again, and that's March 31st through April 2nd, 2017. That's on its way. Got it? Okay. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. Will you, for the love of God? Here's what I don't like about YouTube. I love YouTube. Here's what I don't like about it. Okay, I'm in love with it, but sometimes I don't like it day to day. I get in arguments with it, but I go, I do love you. I'm just mad at you right now. And it's not really YouTube's fault. It's like the waffling up and down of the subscribers is just maddening because I want my subscribers to grow, obviously. And overall, I think there's a net, well, I know there's a net gain, but it's like I launch a video and I go, okay, launch a video, and then just two subscribers gone in it that day. But then I got two this morning added. So I don't know what's going on. Okay, so anyway, I'm not trying to figure it out. I'm just putting videos on there and I hope that you're enjoying them. Okay, but if you're there, subscribe. You get a little notifications when I post more. Got it? Postmortem. Get it? Ooh, I need another espresso. Okay, World Veg Fest report. Really fun, really good event, very well attended, kind of amazing. So I got there and set up the Stanford table and I was like hanging out, and it was a couple hours before my talk. And there was like hardly anybody there at like 11 a.m. I was like, this is a very poorly attended event, I thought to myself. And then I actually said it out loud to my friend Rebecca. And she said, I think everybody's watching Michael Greger. If you guys don't know who Michael Greger, he's an MD who wrote a book called How Not to Die, which I think is a good goal. Just can we try to not die? And so that's what his book is, but it blew up. It's like it's a very popular book. Okay. And so anyway, he's like a superstar dude. And so she said, I think they're watching him. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. So an hour later, there was just a flood of just people pouring into the room. I mean, it was just like his talk was done and it was just like a rumbling, a stampede of a herd of hippie buffaloes. That's what that was like. And so they all came in the room and that was cool. So then I did my talk and I'm thinking, you know, you never know, hit and miss. But I got to tell you guys, very cool. It's full house. I mean, I packed the room. I wasn't in the same room as Michael Greger. I was in a smaller room. But I'm still saying that every chair was taken, plus standing room. There's well over 100 people there. It was very cool, very well attended. And I always love when there's more people. It feels good. The energy is good. And got some really good feedback. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I love talking on that way. I love speaking to groups. It's fun. And I love this podcast too, but there's something about being in the room. You know what I'm saying? And at the same time, I try to make it fun but get through what I think are some very important points, especially in the context of things like a Veg Fest where people are coming to learn, you know, to see new products and sure, but also to learn about, you know, because there's a lot of fear around food, as you guys know, because I talk about it a lot and I'm trying to dispel the fear. I'm trying to mitigate the fear that everybody has around food because I don't think it's anything to be afraid of at all. I think it's the opposite. I think it's very simple when you get through the marketing. It's very simple. And so, by the way, as an aside, and I'll see if I can get the article that I read like up a post online. But they've just investigated and found out this multi-billion-dollar ad campaign by the egg conglomerate, whatever the hell they call it. And Jeff Stanford sent me the article, and to discredit like Just Mayo, like they're a huge push. I mean, lots of dollars put into this kind of thing. And it just highlights the fact that advertising plays a massive role. And I'm not against advertising. I'm only against advertising when it looks like science. That's what bothers me. And I don't like that. And I want people to be informed enough to wade through that crap, because that's just chaps my hide like nobody's business. It's like, fine, advertise and go, hey, this is amazing stuff. But don't be like, science shows and research shows that this and this and this, and there's no mention of the company that's actually putting this out, and it makes it look like an ad, makes it look like a research, you know, a scientific paper when it's an ad campaign. It's just, that's what it is. And so I don't like that. And so that's what this was, proof of that occurring. And so anyway, good for the journalist who kind of broke that story. Okay. But it won't make CNN because it's not interesting. Okay. It doesn't rhyme with rump. Okay. All right. Good. But in this talk, I'm doing the philosophy thing that I talk about. Yes, some small steps, but really like for, and this is a veg fest. I know that you guys, I don't have, this is not a, any, this is a philosophy of health and happiness podcast. Okay. This isn't about labels and all that kind of stuff, but yes, I kind of am asked to speak at Veg Fest, and it's kind of an okay fit when you think about it. But I always want to go to the ideas. I want to go to the ethics and the compassion and the background and the backdrop to these decisions. And I want people to remember, because so easily we get mired and muddled in the minutia. And I want people to back out just for the hour that they're with me, because they've just come out of a scientific based talk by, let's say, Dr. Greger, who's amazing. And he, and if you go to, you know, I'm not connected. I met him a few times, but I don't, like, I'm not connected to him, but nutritionfacts.org, great videos on nutrition and amazing. And they've just come out of this talk of with him where they're learning the statistics and the research and the science and the nitty-gritty of this stuff. And it's great. And they're all taking notes and it's amazing. And then I want them to say, okay, now, okay, got that. Put that on hold for 1 second. Before you let that overtake your life, let's back out of that just a minute and just remember what you're looking for, which is healthier, happier existence. That's what you're looking for. And this room full of people was very receptive to that. It was, they were very kind and positive and fun and funny. And you know, I pick on people for fun. And one of the guys I picked on, he's afterwards, he's like, I'm a podcaster also. I was like, oh, no way. Plantriotic, I think is the name of his podcast. So we'll connect. But just by chance, I was kind of pointing at him, making a joke about it. But anyway, so good. But it made me realize this. Above all else, of everything that I do in the small stepping ways that I, you know, coach people, I'm essentially strengthening the mind. I've called it self-esteem and I've called it self-confidence, but what it really is I'm helping people strengthen their mind, just as I'm strengthening my own mind in my own small steps practice. That is first and foremost. And I have said, by the way, that happiness sort of is the overall thing, even above health. And it's kind of in that same thing, because that kind of moves the energy up to the old head there. It's strengthening of the mind. The stronger we are in mind, then the stronger we can become in body. It's how we achieve virtually everything we want in our lives, is, in my opinion, is by strengthening the mind. I think the small steps process, while it delves into things like nutrition and fitness, let's say moving our bodies, at the end of the day, the small steps process itself is one of taking control of your life, is of strengthening your mind, so that yes, through food you can strengthen your body, through exercise you can strengthen your body, you can be less irritable, less angry, less phased by the mind, by the just mundane crap that we're up against in the office and, you know, with friends sometimes and family, you know, not bad people, just what it is, right? Less phased. The stronger we are, less phased by the news, less phased by the person who has the need to comment on your Facebook page in a just completely nutty nut, and not nutty nut in a good way. Okay, I should have put on the shirts, it says nutty nut on the front. I should have put in parentheses the good kind, because there's definitely the nutty nut that's not the good kind. Okay, and they're just commenting on YouTube as we speak, not making their own videos, but they're commenting on YouTube about how horrible a certain video is, because they're providing a public service. They want to save somebody from the pain that they've just had to endure by watching a video they don't like. God forbid they just don't watch that video. That's fine. It's fine. But afterwards, got some good questions. And always the questions are a little spotlight on how hard it is to live your life on your own terms, especially when you maybe previously hadn't been so much. And the conflict that creates in your family and friends and social structure at large, when you emerge as you, this is speaking to the me, not me game. If you're just joining me, go back and listen to old episodes, or I did a video on it too. When the you actually starts to emerge, when you sort of come out of your cocoon little by little leg comes out, little arm comes out, and you're kind of, it's this like people feel judged by your actions. I don't know. I'm not a psychologist. And I actually met a really cool guy who was a psychiatrist at the event. I should ask him if he because we traded cards. Really interesting guy. But there's a part of us that I don't know why, but when we individually take on our lives and make changes to ourselves without any judgment or statement about anything that anybody else is doing, other people can feel judged by that. And it's a psychological reality that I don't know where it comes from. I don't know. And really, I don't care, but it's kind of curious because I know I felt that way too. You know, somebody else does something and then it in their actions, I feel not threatened, but like there's a, you know, all of a sudden I'm paying more attention to what I do or the fact that I'm not doing that thing. And I feel that way. Now, why that is then the next step of somebody then coming up to me, or in this case, this girl who asked me this very question, now people are like going at her. They're like, in a way, they're not attacking her like physically or like getting on her in a mean way, but kind of. So in other words, she's making a change. She hasn't commented on anything that anybody else is doing. Yes, maybe because she's doing it, they're now paying attention to what they're doing. Okay, fine. And maybe they're not happy about that. Fine. But then they make the extra step of going after her on it. And that's a weird human protective thing that's maybe gone awry, that was maybe useful in the wild and now is just totally not useful in the modern world. So she's like, what do I do? She was sitting at a table with people and had a plate of food. And I've joked about this before. Like, I've never commented on what somebody's eating, but I've gotten comments so many times on food that is on my plate. Like, it's unbelievable. Why aren't you eating that? Why are you eating that? Don't you eat that? And it's like, can I just eat? And so this would happen to her. So she's sitting there at a table talking to her friends, and she just happens to not be eating the fish that everybody else was eating. But she's eating a full plate of food. And the conversations start, and they're just like, why don't you eat fish? What's going on? And it's like, she's listening to this, she'll agree. She wasn't prepared to deal with that. She wasn't prepared. She asked me, like, what do I do? And I said, well, why don't you eat fish? And, you know, she answered me in literally 3 seconds, just knew the answer right away. I go, well, that's what you communicate. And you make it fast, and you make it succinct, and you don't go on and on about da-da-da-da-da. You just go, this is why I do it for me. I go, make it about you, because it is about you. Don't make it about anybody else. Go, I don't really care what you guys eat. I'm doing this because I read this stuff, and I made a decision about it. So anyway, and then change the subject. In and out. Get in, get out. Now, I do think there's an... Here's what I think. If somebody is going to start it, then there's a certain obligation to sort of weigh in on that, in my opinion. I don't start it on principle. I don't start that stuff on principle. I just don't. But if somebody else starts it, I'm freaking in, because I don't, at that point, it's sort of like when somebody says something and you don't respond, then therefore it becomes their truth. And I don't want to let them off that easy, because if they're going to start that with a criticism of something that I'm doing, I'm going to then say, well, here's the facts on which I acted. Remember how small steppers, we know and then we act. And we have the ability to act because we know we can do it in a minimal way. That's what gives small steppers the strength of actually taking action, where previously we wouldn't, because even if we know something, the idea of acting seems so big and overwhelming that we don't move at all. Small steppers know and actually act. That's the strength of this process, is that it's one of the few kind of person, a small stepper, that can actually act on stuff. We don't do it all at once. We don't clean the whole thing up all at once. We don't read necessarily something and then just make the change all at once, but we start moving. And then we allow it over time. And if we're really motivated by what we read, we may make a small steps change that comparatively looks huge because we are ready to make that full change. You guys know where I stand on that. Dig? Okay. So she asked me that question. So I feel, you know, I feel bad for people on one hand, but then I'm like, she's asking the question, she's getting an answer, and maybe that'll help her. I don't know. I hope so. I wish people would just leave her freaking alone to make her decisions and investigate her own life the way that she wants to and learn about herself. And if she wants help, I'm assuming she'll ask for it like she asked me. And until she does, people should just shut the hell up about what she's doing. Boom, I said it. Yeah, got a little angry there. You know why? Because that last sip of espresso I just took was cold. That makes me mad. Okay? You leave that poor girl alone until my espresso gets warmer, then I won't really be so invested in the process. Totally out of context, so I apologize, but I'm supposed to. I'm so bad. Like, two things I didn't do with the talk. Didn't mention my book. Didn't mention that I was even an author. And I had books for sale. Stupid. Two, my last slide of my slideshow has like my picture and like where you can find me. Just didn't get to that last slide. Just finished my talk on the last like substantive slide, and then just said thank you, and then took questions and like didn't forward the thing. It's just like I'm not in that head. So thank you guys who are supporting me and maybe found. I know I got some followers down on Instagram, so maybe you guys searched on that. So good. But Sid Garza Hillman everywhere. Dig. Good. Moving on. I am on a dial back day today, just reporting. I am loving the just not eating. That's my new dial back day, is just not eating until dinner. As I'm driving down to San Francisco, and I've done this a lot because I travel a fair amount, and I get up really early and I bring the fruit and I'm eating it kind of like I quote should be eating this. But I'm noticing like I don't feel like eating that early in the morning. In fact, this will freak you guys out. I left my house at 6. I was up at 5:30, left my house at 6. And I didn't even feel like having coffee. So I just made tea. And because my stomach's, you know, it's first thing in the morning. And I didn't eat anything until after noon. I think I ate something around noon at the Veg Fest. I grabbed some sort of Thai noodle bowl that was like not great. But anyway, so very interesting. Like, if I don't feel like it now, I don't have to, because somebody says you got to eat, you got to make sure you eat because you got to. It's like I'm fine, great morning, ton of energy, no problem. Having great, enjoyed my tea, digging it. I am in week 6 of the Wim Hof thing. I got through my week of 10-minute cold showers, which was not easy. I got used to it in terms of my body. I could feel the changes. It's still cold, but I can physically feel what's going on here now. It's very, very cool. But it was a sort of mental strain of like getting into a shower for 10 minutes, okay? So now in week 6 is less time, but I'm doing some holding my breath in the cold shower, which is a very interesting thing. It sounded easy, like hold your breath for 30 seconds. I was like, no problem. But then in the warning, it was like, make sure you hold on to something in the shower, like hold on to something. And I was like, oh, that's kind of an interesting warning. So I didn't take it lightly, and I do hold on to the wall. I haven't felt like passing out, so that's good news. Sometimes I just feel like passing out, but I don't in the cold shower. So that was kind of cool. As another little test, I had a 12-mile trail run with Sid on Saturday morning. She got me up so freaking early. It was absurd. And it was pitch dark. Watch my new video. You can see how dark it is, actually, because now it's fall and it's starting to darken up. So headlamps are back on. And the reason she got me up so early is because she was finishing the 12 with me and then meeting up with other people to do an additional 7.5, which I totally would have done, but I had to do horse stuff and, you know, all that kind of crap. And I had to assist coach a soccer game again. But I decided that I was going to do this 12 miler. It was trails, pretty good elevation, about almost up to 2,000 feet of elevation in that 12 miles. I took no water with me and no food, nothing. And it was almost 3 hours. It took us about 2 hours and 50 minutes. That's all in. You know, we stopped to go to the bathroom or whatever. You know, and so that's all. That's we were out for 2 hours and 50 minutes. Okay. And it's not like we stopped to go to the bathroom. I just want to be clear about that, because I don't want, you know, a bunch of like, wow, that's, yeah, like one of us will go, then the other one will go. Okay, we don't go, let's stop to go to the bathroom. no water, no food. Just thought, you know, worst case scenario is I just mug Sid and just steal her water. That's like worst case, no problem. I'm bigger than she is. She can't do anything about that. I'm just going to steal her water and that's what that is. But didn't need to. Had full energy doing my breathing technique the entire time, feeling really, really good. And I got to tell you, like even after 2 hours and 50 minutes, really not that thirsty. I drank water on the way home and just kind of cool. Had a couple bananas on the way home, finished and recovered great. Got home, took a nice cold shower, musculature-wise, feeling great. I mean, just feeling great. What is happening, guys, is that through the increase of brown adipose tissue in my body, which I can feel happening, I am becoming a more efficient energy creator. tapping into more of the fat cells. So I don't, it's going to be too soon for me to pull this off on a 50K. I'm just telling you right now, that's not my plan. I will be eating at the aid station tables and I will be drinking water, you know, a little bit every mile. I don't want to play the game of being out for 8 hours with nothing. That's not where I'm at. I'm very in the beginning of this process. Maybe someday that will happen. I don't know, don't care. But I am tapping more efficiently the literally thousands and thousands of calories that are stored in my body as we speak via becoming a little more efficient in energy creation and because I run slowly, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not bonking and tapping, over tapping my glycogen storage in my muscles and just running out of energy. I've got it. I'm feeling good. So finished that run and had a whole day of activity and helped build some stuff on our shed, on our stall for the horse and coach the soccer game. Like really good, feeling really, really good and strong. So it'll be interesting to see how this 50K plays out with really running a lot of less miles. Okay. Okay, one of the bonuses of doing this podcast and working with people is that I come across, I have somebody who listens to this podcast. She's back east and she's a genius and she's an author. And so sometimes she'll send me articles based on what she hears in the podcast. And a lot of times articles are proof that what I'm saying as I'm talking out of my ass are right. And so, you know, I'm joking. But anyway, so she sent me this this interesting post because last week I talked about how the, you know, some of the advances that like we're always playing catch up, like we haven't caught up to the world that we've ourselves created. And it's this weird thing together that we create technologies and we have these modern amenities and luxuries that all save us time. That's what they're designed to do. But we haven't actually caught up biologically or mentally to these things. We can obviously social media and we can check the news and we can do all these things, but we haven't strengthened, in my opinion, our minds to deal with these things that we've invented too. So she sent me this thing called, and it's like actually a term, it's actually a thing called cultural lag. And that the guy, I can't remember the guy, you can look it up, but anyway, there's a guy and it's his theory. And he's basically said the technological and or material advances often outpace the non-material advances. Things like, he was saying like the stem cell research, you know, the technological advance of stem cell research has sort of outpaced the ethical considerations of said stem cell research. It's like we've got it, but we haven't kind of got like, well, we haven't wrapped our brains around it yet. We haven't wrapped our minds around, well, what's the effect of this? We can do this, but should we do this? It's a very interesting thing for me because all the things that we can do in the modern world, I think most of those things we probably shouldn't be doing. They're not making us, or at least yet, they're not making us healthier and happier. All the things that we can do, we're not becoming healthier and happier as a species. Very interesting thing. He frames it as a cultural lag that we just are sort of playing catch up. A lot of my small steps training and approach has to do with slowing things down. And coming back to the very simple things that make us healthier and happier and make us less dependent on more and more of that. More on that because that's the subject of this week's podcast. Boom, nailed it. Okay? Speaking of which, I had this thought yesterday, which was a very interesting kind of thing for me because I've had this experience a lot when let's say you listen to my What If series the last couple of weeks. Like, what if you got up and you did this and this and this and that's how your life looked like? Would that be okay for you? Please go listen to an old episode if you're just joining me because I just freaking glazed over that thing and just completely, yeah, whatever. When we make a change, ideally via the small steps, we go, okay, I want to be a person who eats healthier food. So I'm going to start with the ubiquitous, because I've said it 1,000 times, stalk of celery. I'm going to not change anything on my diet. I'm going to keep everything as is because the idea of giving up that food that I love is too stressful and sounds miserable. And I tried it before and I just blew it off and I yo-yo dieted back and forth. And I always come back. So now I'm going to do it a different way. Now I'm going to just not change most of it, but I'm going to change just a little bit of it. And not lose the quality of my enjoyment of food right away. Got it? So I'm going to put that stalk of celery on there. And it's going to be great. I'm just going to start that. And then I'm going to build that stalk of celery over time to two stalks of celery. But I'm kind of conscious about that thing as it's happening. Obviously, it's a conscious act. It's an intentional act. So it's not, I can't check out. I'm not checking out. I'm not, you know, just distracted. I'm reaching into that refrigerator and getting that stalk of celery. That's a conscious act that happens. And over time that builds, and over time I'm learning to do that, and it gets easier and easier. And I'm identifying myself as somebody who eats healthy food every day, because that's a fact now. And before it wasn't, and now it is, because I am in proof. I'm eating a stalk of celery, which has now turned into a side salad, which has now turned into half my meal as a salad, et cetera, et cetera. But there's a shift after which all of a sudden we can actually have this experience where we're sitting eating and we look down and go, well, holy crap, I'm eating a salad. And I don't even really remember doing that. It just happened. And much in the same way that as we strengthen our minds and become happier in our lives, less irritable, less fatigued, we don't get triggered. And we all of a sudden have this kind of duality in our personalities where we watch ourselves not respond in a mean, irritable way. And afterwards we go, holy crap. It's like a holy crap moment. We have these like holy crap moments where we go, I told that person, like, said that thing, and I would have absolutely 2 weeks ago just gotten defensive and crazy. And I just, look what happened. What did I just do? I just said, yeah, and didn't think about it anymore. I noticed that I didn't think about it anymore. And I've had this exact, you know, experience, like things that would have just bothered me for 3 days, you know, some bad review or something that just sticks in my craw and I can't let it go. And then 2 hours later, I'm not thinking about it anymore. And I go, holy crap, I'm not thinking about it anymore. There's those, it's the process that when you stick with it long enough, this is how that happens. If we stick with something long enough, it actually does become something that's normal. And not to come back to the veg fest, but I'm gonna. For a lot of these people, this is the transitional period. This is the period where they're learning about stuff and information and how to do it and all the nuts and bolts. And it's taking a massive amount of real estate in their brains, because it is all conscious and it is all intentional. And it is additional stress, because it's not the stuff you can check out from. It's not the stuff that you can distract from if you want to make that change, that is. If you've never exercised and want to exercise, you have to, by virtue of the very definition of doing something different, pay attention to it. It's a mental expenditure of energy to pay attention to something that you weren't doing and now you are. And if you stick with it long enough, you will see this point where you're like, holy crap, I just got up and put my running clothes on and I'm like running. And I didn't even realize that. And the person that's you saying, I didn't even realize that, is the real you. And you've sort of manifested into the world a little bit more of you in that process. And that's the best thing freaking ever. That's when we go, we're in. And that's when you're stuck. I mean, that's when you're in. That's when you've inked it. It's done. End of story. Contract finished. Signed contract. T's are crossed. I's are dotted. And all, or hearted. I put hearts over my eyes, but you know, you get the idea. So if you can stick with something long enough, you will have that moment where you go, I just did that. I just reached in the refrigerator and I grabbed an apple and I'm eating an apple. And it's like you're watching it from the outside almost. It's a very weird thing about our psychology, but it does occur. The trick is, again, how to stick with it long enough. How do you stick with something long enough to do that? Well, you know what I'm going to say about that. Small steps. Okay, you don't take on too much in the beginning. You don't take on so much that you burn out. Okay, done. That's pretty simple stuff. 160 episodes in, done. Okay, all right, I'm shutting it down. I'm kidding. I'm coming here every week. For a lot of people, by the way, this is a reminder kind of deal. They come here every week to sort of, oh yeah, that's right. I've been taking on too much. From listening to this podcast, I realize I'm assessing my life and realize I've been really stressed by the yoga that I've been doing this week, because I thought that I should be doing yoga, but I'm freaking stressed about it. And it's taking up mental energy when I'm not in yoga, because I'm thinking about how I don't really want to be doing it, but I should be doing it. And I'd actually rather be painting a picture right now, but God forbid I do that, because I'm thinking about the fact that I don't want to do yoga. Talking about you, Jennifer. I made that name up. I have no idea. There could be a Jennifer listening to this who literally had that exact thing, and she is freaking out right now. She is just like looking around for this cameras. She wants to know how the hell I knew that about her. And I'm sorry. I don't know anything about you. Jennifer, it was a shot in the dark. Okay? Sorry, I just ruined your day. Okay, subject of this week's podcast, you guys, chasing the high. Everything we do is that we want essentially to get high. The food that we eat, how we eat it. It is, I have these moments where I'm sitting at a veg fest and like people are walking up to, so one of the tables next to me to my right, not Rebecca Gilbert's side, but the other side was this lentil something or other, this thing you make, and it was amazing. Really nice people. By the way, and so they're giving tasters out, and people like stand there and they take the taste and they kind of mull it over in their mouths, and they kind of, you know, they're just kind of sitting there, kind of thinking, and it's just like this freaking in the moment, like this high. I mean, you can just see that they're not. Again, I had that video on. I'm not a food addict. Like, this has nothing to do. Nobody's asking like, well, what's the health benefits of lentils? And maybe they already know, but I bet not. I bet they're not like, how many minerals and how many vitamins? But they're just like, oh yeah. And it's high. Me too. I just want you to remember that this week. I want you to take this week to remember that all the things you're doing is because you want to get high. Most of us are not quote unquote adrenaline junkies, but that's kind of the long-term effect of needing more and more and more. How I said earlier in this very week's podcast of, you know, that sort of chasing the more we want, the more we, you know, the more we need, the more we want, you know, it's just like we get that thing and then we need more and then we need more and we kind of just keep going. And if we lose that in check, if we don't keep that in check, we can become adrenaline junkies where we're just putting ourselves in danger all the time because it just takes so much for us to get the same high that it took, you know, 10 years ago to just sit down on a chair and read a book because it made us just feel so good to do that. And now we're cliff jumping. And if you want to cliff jump. I mean, I'm just, and then what I recommend is a cliff bar while you're cliff jumping because you just don't want to lose your glycogen. I was listening to a This American Life episode recently, which is one of my favorite podcasts. I really like. It's hit and miss. I'll be honest. Like some of it's a little like, this is our theme, and then we're going to do a story that's so not that theme, but we're going to kind of convince you that it's part of that theme, but it's not really that theme. We're going to stretch on that. But for the most part, it's a kick-ass podcast, okay? Just, it's kind of the gold standard. In this one episode, they were documenting a French comedian who was super popular in France, and I can't even tell you the name of the title of this episode, so sorry about that. But, and I mean like popular, like filling, you know, big halls and auditoriums. And what he decided to do, which is very interesting, is come to America and do his comedy in English. Try to be a successful American comedian. In America, the U.S. is sort of the stand-up comedy kind of started in the U.S. And so it's sort of like it's got its own thing. And oftentimes, comedians in other countries don't play well with American audiences, but also vice versa, but still. So he goes, I'm coming over to America. And this is a guy who's like super wealthy, super successful. And one of the things he was saying is like, there was no challenge in France. He goes, I can basically get on stage and kind of say anything and people will laugh. He's got it dialed in. They know him. He knows them. It's done. He's got it. He knows exactly what to do. And he does it and kind of lost the high. Lost the joy of the work. So what he chose to do was come over to America, play crappy little clubs. He's staying in this like amazing hotel because he's super wealthy, right? But then he's going down to this like crap club and just getting brutalized because he's not that funny in English. His timing is not off. His comedy doesn't really relate. He doesn't have the sense of what plays well and sort of tapping into that part of him that plays well maybe to an American audience. So totally interesting, but what I loved about it is he said he wanted to recapture that childlike high. He wanted the excitement. He was willing to put himself through getting heckled and having people just not clap at him and having bad he wanted to have bad shows again. He wanted to remember what it was like to have the bad shows because then when he would start having good shows, it was an earned high. It was earned. because he did the work that it took to get to that real thing. Not, you're funny and we'll laugh at whatever you say because we're all, we just know who you are. And they're not bad people. So they think it's funny, but he, for him, it's just dialed in. It doesn't take any struggle. There's no struggle. He wanted the struggle. He wanted to recapture that thing. That's the chasing of the high in such a very, very cool way to see somebody go like, this is what I want. But we got to keep it in check. We got to, under, again, the strengthening of the mind. We can recapture these things in our lives, all of us. We can recapture the high and the excitement by introducing adventure into our lives. I did a video a while ago when I was in Scotland about, you know, taking little adventures, doing little things that are outside of your norm, not a step on a list, not a step that you do every day or daily or even weekly, but just a once in a while thing, doing something that's not your norm. That's how you feel and reconnect with the excitement of what living a life can be. Most of us, I find, are not excited by life. I think we've lost that excitement. The idea of even being excited by life is sort of like, yeah, I don't, it's sort of so off the radar that we don't even, I got a job and I got a family. Like, I, you know, I'm having fun and it's fine, but I'm not excited by life. I'm not inspired by life, right? Most people, I think, maybe are not. And I think that you can be and maintain all those normal things by chasing certain things, by the art, the creativity, by picking up an instrument. There is excitement in the very small ways that we can do that. We don't need to, you know, leave our country and go to another country and pursue a comedy career in English and completely different. I think we can do that in much littler ways. I think the one of the analogies, of course, is sort of like that crush, like that feeling of excitement in a relationship. In the beginning, you've got that crush. And if we don't understand the sort of deeper possibilities of a relationship, that is sort of the going from crush to crush. You know, I've met people and known people who sort of can't keep a relationship. As soon as it gets any kind of like substance to it, it's like, I'm out of here, because it's not fun anymore in their estimation. It doesn't have that excitement. But there's other, first of all, two points. There's other things that occur in a long-term relationship that cannot occur in a crush. And second of all, you can restoke the fire in a relationship if you're paying attention enough to say, this has kind of gotten stagnant. Let's re-energize this thing. Well, that's what the small steps approach, that my approach that I talk about every week does. It's re-energizing you. It's infusing excitement and high into a life that maybe is okay. And it's not saying bad, it's bad, but maybe you want that excitement and you want a little bit of like gusto. You miss that kind of like freaking full body, just that crush. You want to have like a crush on your life again, but it's just hard because you've got, you're set in stone, so to speak, in all these different ways, but you're really not. You're really not if you break it down into injecting little moments where you can get high in a good way. Yo-yo diets are chasing that high. Yo-yo diets are chasing that high, and when it wears off, and we're stuck with what the hell do we do now, we don't stick with it because it's not fun anymore. It's not fun because we haven't done the transition of getting it to a normal thing where we feel good most of the time. Well, it takes time, like I said. You have to stick with something long enough to where small steppers sort of get that wave of a wave of feeling good instead of the spikes and crashes. It's sort of, it reminds me a lot of active blood sugar spiking, right? We want to avoid blood sugar spikes and the crash. We want to avoid eating refined added sugar because it spikes us and then we have that subsequent crash. And yet in our lives, sometimes we do that very thing, like we with the diets and the quick fixes. We want that spike, but then we get the crash. We get the crash because it's not an even-handed way of approaching our lives that creates real change and real excitement over time, a high that is maybe not as high as the Twinkie, but it's a high and it's moments and it's little highs throughout the day, but that are in balance with the deeper experience of our lives. And it's a picture that is overall happier and healthier with more minimal spikes of high than our lives that are not good, not happy, not healthy, and then we do the diet for 10 weeks and we get a bat out of hell rush, or we get into a crush in a relationship, but then as soon as it gets serious, we're out of there. And we want to find the next freaking thing that's going to get us high again. And that's a cycle that does not end up being successful for us long term. It doesn't end up making us truly healthy and happy long term. We've got to bring up the bottom, bring up the foundation of health and happiness to such a level that that's where we are staying and it's good and it's strong and we feel good and we're strong in mind and body. And then the spikes of excitement of being with family or social engagements or travel are definitely chasing the high, but they don't go quite as high and they certainly don't come down in a crash. It's an evening. It's moving to whole plants, for instance, to avoid that blood sugar spike and crash. It's moving to something that makes your body have little ups and downs, not big ups and downs. And overall, your life improves and your health and happiness improve overall. And you eke out a better life than you would by chasing these massive highs and then trying to pick up the pieces when you fall. Because that's an inevitability. It's an inevitability when you start a diet, and statistics will prove my point, and I'm sure that my genius friend back east will send me an article and be like, you were right about that when you talked out of your ass about it. It turns out you were right. Statistics show that the diets fail because, in my opinion, they don't teach you anything. They don't teach you behavior change. They don't teach you habit change. They wrap you up in the high of it. They market you to the high of it. They make you think that you can conserve the energy that you don't want to spend and get these massive changes with virtually not a lot of work. And they wrap you up in that excitement and you bite because you want it so bad. And then you crash and you go, what the hell happened? And when you crash hard. And the first thing you want to do when you crash hard is chase the high again. You want to find that next high that will dig you out of that freaking hole, and you're going to do it, and the cycle continues. And so next time you crash, if you crash, stay down there for a minute, and then find the next little step that will just bring you one step up out of that hole. Don't try to jump out of the hole. Just, I got to bring myself out just a little bit, and then over time, the next step becomes the next step, et cetera, so that when you're finally out, you're out for good. Got it? All right, you guys. That is it for this week. Okay? I don't know if you can hear it, but there's literally a rooster like crowing because it's morning time. And I live apparently in Tennessee. There's a freaking rooster crowing. Sorry to the people in Tennessee. I love Tennessee. I've been there. It's fantastic. I own property there. I don't really own property there. You guys are awesome. Listen, if you want to email me, podcast@sidgarzahillman.com is my email address. You can send me an email with any questions or comments. I you know how I feel about the emails. I freaking love them. They're fantastic. You guys are awesome. It was great. Thank you to everybody who came to my talk yesterday. Saw some podcast listeners who came up and said hi, and it's so great to actually meet people in person. How cool is that, right? You guys are great. Keep taking care of yourselves. You're worth taking care of. Spend this week finding moments to take a deep breath, to go on a little walk by yourself, to contact a friend that you haven't been in contact with. Take advantage of when you can, where you can, wherever you can, to just do something nice for yourself. Okay? And that might be by doing something nice for somebody else. All right? All right, you guys. Thanks for everything. Donations, iTunes, reviews, all that kind of crap. You guys are awesome. I'll be here next week. All right? And order a Nutty Nut Nut shirt, will you? Helps me out, and you're going to freaking love it. It's an awesome shirt. And for those of you who ordered, they're going out, I promise. All right, you guys. I'll be here next week. In the meantime, be well.
That a shimmering sun would go away. You're all the words I couldn't say. And there before me, your heart breaks, and I just watch it break. Not a place to hide. you are bare. And only to decide that I am come, man, with you, that I will finally see what you see. I have no place to hide, I am bare. Say, we are bare and our hearts break, that a threadbare moon will take its place. In a look I'm lost in you, but in a way, away, closed off from a simple few, you have learned to take. In a look I lay down with you, there in the way. In a look I'm lost in you, but I'm away, letting fortune and will carry us away. Closed out from a simple view, you have learned to take.